All right, say, I'm ready to hear the word. Okay. I'm ready to hear the word.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know that's a faith statement because you don't know what you're about to hear. But it's really simple today. Meat and potatoes, practical. But if you'll listen, if you'll just kind of move in a little closer toward the word and listen, it can make a big difference in your life and your family. So Holy Spirit, be our teacher, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me share with you some life lessons on walking with God. Some life lessons on walking with God. A few days ago, I got a text from a friend up in the Nashville area. His name's Wes Harbor. He and Susie are friends of Mickey and me, and they've been in our Lost World since 2004. He was kind of the liaison between the publisher and one of the first books I wrote, and so I got to know him during those days. He sent me a little text and said, Susie and I have kept our two grandkids for a few days. He said, the other morning, Susie prepared oatmeal with blueberries for the grandchildren, and little three-year-old Mila wasn't eating the blueberries. So Susie, the grandmama, Susie tells Mila, Mila, eat your blueberries. They'll make your hair and your skin beautiful. They'll make you happy. To which Mila responded, I already happy. She didn't need blueberries to make her happy. Listen, we all at times need to evaluate and make some changes and be more like that three-year-old, more like a child. As a matter of fact, Jesus makes a shocking statement. He says this in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, assuredly. Now, when Jesus says assuredly, that means lean in a little more, okay? Pay a little bit more attention. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Isn't that something? That sounds reversed, doesn't it? I mean, the purpose of the child is to grow the child into an adult. But Jesus said, unless you're converted and become as little children. Now, he was not saying that we are to become childish. Little children can be childish. They can be very immature. They can be very selfish. They can be quick-tempered and so forth. He's not talking about that. He is talking about the fact that little children, they are carefree, joyful, trusting, and dependent upon their parents. And he said, unless you're converted and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. At the very least, he is saying, the activity of God in the realm of earth, and I believe to come, you're not going to be a part of it until these things happen. So please don't feel like a little dumbed down today by what I'm going to teach. Because as I was studying for this message, and I had it basically put together and just out of nowhere, and I've learned to pay attention to things that come from out of nowhere, because most of the time it's the devil or it's the Lord. So you take a moment and you discern. But that little song that I learned growing up in Sunday school, and if I remember correctly, we even were taught it in elementary school. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. You remember that one? Well, let me let someone maybe can do a better job than I can share it with you. Why? I'm not going to play the whole thing. But if we went through it all, The little ears have to be careful what they hear. The little mind has to be careful what it thinks. The little mouth has to be careful what it says. The little hands have to be careful what they do. The little feet have to be careful where they go. The little heart has to be careful who you trust. All of that. It's a really powerful song. So powerful, I'm going to reel it right into this message today. And hopefully by the time we're through and we go home, we'll remember it. And I'm going to challenge you to begin to utilize it when you first wake up in the morning. All right. First thing I want to share has to do with a lesson about eyes and ears. You know your eyes and your ears are the gates to the outer world around you. That's where the information and data that we process comes from, our eyes and our ears, a certain amount from our touch, but primarily our eyes and our ears, some from our smell and so forth, but predominantly the eyes and the ears. The eyes are the light of the body. And Jesus very clearly says in John chapter 5, I'm going to put two verses up here, 19 and 30. And by the way, I shared John 5, 19 Wednesday night. The message on Wednesday night is a companion to what I'm sharing today. Wednesday night I talked about being guided by God, a little bit more specifically about being guided. And today we're talking about some life lessons of walking with God. So Jesus said, and you can read that, but what he says is he did nothing except what he saw the Father do. His focus of his vision really transcended the natural realm, and he was gazing into the realm of the Spirit. He said, I only do, KJV or New King James Version, I do nothing unless I see the Father doing this. And if you read on down to verse 30, he says, the judgments I make, when I make judgments, he's talking about his judgments and his decisions, I hear and then I make my judgments based on that. Again, a reference to the Father up above. He's looking down with love. He sees what God is doing. He hears what God is saying. And he just does that. Now, I would observe that he did that worked out pretty good. I mean, you and I are here today worshiping, free from sin, forgiven, having peace, joy. If you don't have that, you can't have it. Because of the way Jesus obeyed the Father all the way to the death of the cross, through the tomb, gloriously risen, oh, wonderfully ascended, and now he ever lives to make intercession for us, and he's coming again. So he lived by looking for what God was doing. Those gold miners that dig for gold, they don't dig for dirt, but they had to work through a lot of dirt. But when they see gold, oh, they slow down and they pay attention to that. That's the treasure. And a lot of times our life's that way. I mean, we got stuff coming at us visually and audibly everywhere we turn, that because of the information age. We're on the information highway, and there's cars everywhere, right? Devices, computers, telephones, televisions. You can't escape it. It is everywhere. But in the middle of that, we've got to learn to discern what God is doing and hear what God is saying. Do you know they make a pair of headphones? They call them noise-canceling headphones. You can be on a jet, and I've seen many people on an airplane, they plop those things on their ears. What it does is the roaring noise of the jet engines and all the chatter and carrying on around in the cabin and so forth, all of that's gone. And the only thing you hear is nothing or what you're playing through your headphones. Musicians like those things when they're mixing music, or people that just really enjoy music, they'll buy those, block everything out, and they can hear those different instruments and they can enjoy that song. Or you can just enjoy the quietness. Jesus, surrounded by all the stuff going on around him, could tune that out and hear what Father was saying, see what Father was doing. But listen to this. Even Jesus, there were times when he drew away from the noise, the crowds. You remember the night before he appointed those 12 disciples? It says he drew aside, went up into the mountain and he prayed. He spent the night in prayer, quietness, under the stars, talking to Father God. But when he came down and then reconnected, he knew. Peter, follow me. John, follow me. All 12 of them. He called them. And I believe that's the model. He had a heavy-duty decision to make. He didn't just presumptuously make the decision. Oh, you got skills. You got talents. No, because the ones he chose would not have been the ones that we would have chosen in the natural. I mean, when you saw Peter, you'd probably ran. But because he had spent time with God, he could see what mere men could not see. He could know what mere men could not know. And so can you, child of God, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. You can discern the activity of God, and you can know what mere humans can't know. That's what 1 Corinthians 2:14 means. Natural folks, folks that don't have the Spirit, aren't saved. They can't operate that way. They may have some natural intuition and so forth. But you can hear from God. The Word of God, reading the Bible, when you're saved, now you've got the author of the Bible inside of you that will translate, interpret, and apply it to your life. And without the Spirit of God, oh, you can come up with some great Bible studies and you can share some amazing facts. But it's the Spirit of God that gives you revelation that will transform your life, sometimes save your life, sometimes save someone else's life. And so we've got to learn to, put your hands here, eyes, help me see what God's doing. You know, with my ears, I'm going to hear what God is saying. And it's so important that we understand this. Protect the eye gates, the ear gates. Look at a couple of other scriptures before we move on. Psalm 101 verse 3, first part of that verse. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. In other words, you don't need to dwell purposely. The idea here is somebody purposely setting something before their eyes. We all see stuff that we would choose not to see, but we didn't have a choice. Right? Sometimes a commercial catches you. On television. Or sometimes you hear things, you didn't say it, but the people you work with, they're saying it, and you're right in the middle of it. This is the idea here of the person setting something wicked. In other words, if you do sit down at a computer and you dial into or log into a porn site, and you sit there and you watch that, you're violating this passage. You mean God's mad at me? Well, the Lord doesn't want you to do that. Why? Because it destroys you. It does something to you that's not good. It can pervert your idea of intimacy. It can even create bitterness and anger and resentment, make you think somebody else is not living up to what they ought to do. All kinds of stuff. The enemy can mess with your minds. And in our culture, unfortunately, this is rampant. So protecting the eye gate and the ear gate, really, really important. Not just what you don't purposely choose to look or listen to, but more importantly, who you do purposely, intentionally look for and listen to. You get that right, the other becomes much easier. If you leave out the part of connecting with God and getting in union with God by learning to identify what He's doing and listening to Him, then that intimacy and that union and that love that begins to flow in your life makes it much easier to stay away from the other things. If you're trying to do the other things without pressing into the Lord, then it's just self-effort, sometime in fleshly effort, and you may gain some ground, but the enemy's all right with that because you're not pressing into the Lord. Eyes and ears. Let's move on to the second one. Let's talk a moment about the lessons that concerning the mind and the mouth. The mind and the mouth. Yes, the Father's looking down and He's aware of our thoughts. He knows them from afar, the Scripture says. And so Jesus talks about the mind and the mouth. Here's two representing each, one for each. Matthew 5:26, it says, "But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, what's being discussed here is breaking the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And what Jesus does here is he raises the bar. Yeah, that's no, you don't need to be committing adultery, but I need to let you know, if you think about it, and the idea is meditating on it. Please don't misunderstand how the enemy works. A thought can come through your mind that did not originate with you. I'm not going to spend time trying to explain that. I could not adequately explain it. But it's just the truth. And the enemy wants you to own it. Give it a place to dwell and for you to meditate on it. Why? He's a copycat. Because the Lord wants to speak to you. You hear. You dwell on it. And you meditate on it, knowing it will bring forth what the Lord has said. Well, the enemy obviously is going to steal that template and pervert it, try to send some perverted thought or wicked thought or evil thought, get you to embrace it, get worked up by it, then act on it. That's the way this stuff works. So, Jesus is teaching that, yes, your thoughts matter. What's going on in your mind? And by the way, for those of you who may not be aware, most of you are, I've taught on this a number of times, but your brain is the organ that occupies the space in your skull. But your mind is something different. There's a difference between your mind and your brain. Your mind is that immaterial, if you will, invisible part of you that utilizes your brain to process. And through the Holy Spirit, our mind can be renewed. So instead of processing and using the brain in the old sinful way, now your mind is transformed to begin to reflect the mind of Christ. It's about what's happening at the soulish level and the spirit level. In the Old Testament, it was seen more singular, nephesh, soul and spirit. In the New Testament, Paul says, I pray that God sanctify my whole spirit, soul, and body. So today, this teaching, I'm kind of using aspects of the body to teach us lessons about how the soul and the spirit operate. Our eyes, our ears, our mind, our mouth. And Jesus says what goes on between our ears and the mind matters a whole lot. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, when it comes to the tongue, John 6, I love this passage. Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. That's the reason we have the Bible, and a lot of times the words of Jesus are in red. All of the black and the red ones are words, the Word of God. But the red ones are highlighting the words that came out of the mouth of Jesus. They, Holy Spirit-inspired words, they had life in them and on them. And when we read them and heed them, that life then is released into our life. So our mouths matter. James says that tongue between our teeth is the most unruly member in our body, right? There's none that are guiltless in this room when it comes to misusing the tongue. We say things we shouldn't say. Why? Because we think things we shouldn't think. And we think things we shouldn't think and say things we shouldn't think. And then we will do things that we shouldn't do. I messed that up somewhere in there, but you know what I meant. The mind and the mouth. Now, sometimes when I'm up here preaching, the units, the AC units come on. You know why? Because that thermostat on the wall is set at a certain temperature. And when it's hot like this, the air conditioning comes on. And in the winter, when it's cold, the heat comes on. But when the temperature rises above a certain level, they come on to adjust the temperature in the room. That's what a thermostat does. That's similar to what your mind does. So that's the reason. Listen to this. I think there's revelation in this. This is the reason Paul says, set your mind, just like you'd set that thermostat, set your mind on things above where Christ, who is your Lord, is seated. right? And that thermostat, it shifts the climate of our thought life. As a man thinks, so is he. If I'm thinking God thoughts, if I'm thinking about being sensitive to what's going on in the realm of the Spirit, if I'm thinking about, Father, how can I love on Mickey the right way? If I'm thinking, oh, how can I be a better father to my children? Father, how can I be a better pastor to this wonderful people at Great South? If my mind, the climate in my mind is that way, then I'm going to hear him when he's speaking. I'm going to see when he's moving, because I can assume he's going to move me into those directions to bring that about. Just like when our mind gets in the wrong place, if your mind is in the gutter, the rest of you will soon follow. The mind and the mouth matter a whole lot. Well, let's move on to a couple of other scriptures. Paul said this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Again, you see the duality there. Okay, the world is either influencing you, how you ought to think, or the Lord is. You be transformed by the renewing of the mind, and that happens. This is the basic way your mind is transformed. You open the pages of that Bible, whether it's on your device or you've got an actual Bible that you flip the pages. You get older, you have to get bigger print. Most people do. But you read that word prayerfully and relationally, like I recently taught. You read it for relationship, not for information. If you'll read it for relationship with the Father, then it'll become revelation that you'll receive, and that'll bring about transformation in your life. So that's really, really important, the renewing of your mind. And then we're reminded in the book of Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. The flesh profits nothing, but when I speak, the words I speak, they're from the Spirit, and they got life on them. So if we're using our eyes and ears and this information's coming, it's like seed. It's being planted in the soil of our soul. If we're doing it for the flesh, then it's going to be a weed garden. But if we're doing it in the Spirit, then it's going to be the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, and all that stuff. The mind and the mouth. Let's talk a moment concerning a lesson about our heart and our hands. The Bible says the issues of life proceed out of our heart. And when the Bible talks about our heart, most of the time, it's not talking about the physical organ in our body. It's talking about our inner life. The seat of our compassion, the inner you. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, emotions, will, reason, imagination, so forth. But you live in a material body. So the reference to heart here is that inner you, that inner person. So let's talk about hearts and hands. I want to start again with some of Jesus' teaching in Matthew 12. Jesus talking to these religious leaders who are all about the religious rules. He says, brood of vipers. That's not really a good thing. I mean, he's not complimenting them. Let me say it that way. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, we're seeing that where Paul said, may our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless, be sanctified. Paul sees how we're to be an integration of it all. One impacts the other. We see here that what's going on in our heart affects what's coming out of our mouth. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then in Luke chapter 13, speaking of hands, Jesus himself, he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So we see the heart has to do with our loving and trusting God and our whole inner being. And our hands should, our hands represent an extension of who we are. Our hands speak of touching others, reaching out to others as a witness, helping others to serve them, to help them. Also, when we put all this together, we know that our hands, because we now can see and hear supernaturally and have the mind of Christ and know that there's power even in the words that we speak, then we can have confidence that as all of these line up with what the Bible teaches, and we see that Jesus is speaking about all these things, we start getting this and it starts lining up. Now, oh, here, I believe in healing. May I lay my hands on you. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Jesus told his disciples right before he was called up. Mark captures things that Matthew didn't record and Luke didn't record. Mark captures Jesus telling them about the signs that would follow. Matthew got the part where Jesus said, you're going to teach them, disciple them to do all the things that I taught you to do. And some people think, well, what Mark said really shouldn't be in the Bible. Well, Matthew has it too. It's just encapsulated in a summary statement. He said, you teach them to do the things I've commanded you. He commanded them to heal the sick. He commanded them to cast out devils, to cleanse the leper, freely receive, freely give. That's part of what Matthew's saying too. Part of New Testament discipleship should be that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you and you can do the things that Jesus did. Jesus even told his disciples, all the stuff I'm telling you, pass it on. And I'm telling you that the things I've done, you shall do these same things as well, the same works that I've done, and even greater, because I'm going to the Father and the Spirit in me, you put all this together, the Spirit in me, He's going to come back and dwell in you and you're going to do the same things I did. And I'm going to be with you because He's my Spirit. I will be with you in your midst, confirming what you say about me with supernatural signs. And we have, listen, this is important. We have no scripture, not a single scripture, can you find in the New Testament where that was rescinded. That's important, people. Why? Because if we believe that somehow that's rescinded, we're not going to have the faith to step into it, the faith to actually do all that Jesus said to do. So that's important. The Holy Spirit is a gift given us. And He is the gift who comes bearing gifts. He hasn't changed. Just like Jesus, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They are all eternal. And the only change you see was there was a moment in time when Jesus, who has always existed as the second person of the Godhead, God the Son, He became Jesus of Nazareth. He became a man. He inhabited a material body. Died, was buried, and was raised to dead and given a brand new glorified body. And by promise, we're going to get a new glorified body. And Jesus still exists in the realm of the Spirit at the right hand of God the Father in a literal, resurrected, glorified body that is suited to do things this body you and I are in right now simply cannot do. I'm in a sidebar and I'm getting back on this. Heart and hands, that's important. All right? Very, very important. Imagine go down over the Tennessee River and you see those sailboats going through. I think Butch got a sailboat. See old Butch out there in the sailboat? Wind in those sails. That thing's just floating on top of the water. But if you knock a hole and let what's on the outside inside the hull of that boat, what happens? It begins to sink. So when we're talking about the heart, we want to be full of the Lord, full of the Spirit. But when we let the world in, the more the world gets in, we start sinking. And our spiritual life begins to suffocate. and pay the price. So it's important. Last thing that I want to talk about is our lungs and our legs. I'm trying to say it in a way you can remember it. Lungs and legs. Eyes and ears. Mind and mouth. Heart and hands. Lungs and legs. Okay? Okay, your lungs, that's where you breathe. In the Old Testament, the word for spirit is ruach. It means wind or breath. In the New Testament, the word for spirit is pneuma, like a pneumatic air gun or a pneumatic nail gun, that kind of thing. Pneuma means wind or breath. Now, wind is, you know, there's pressure behind wind. There's force or energy or power, right? That's the reason you see those cells just doing nothing, and all of a sudden, if the wind comes, those cells start to fill up, and there's enough power to begin to propel that boat down the river. It's the same way when we get full of the Holy Spirit, there's also accompanying power that now resides in us to move us into kingdom activity and kingdom purpose. And next week, the whole message will be about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share some evidences with you. Some of them may surprise you. Lungs and legs. So the breath of God. But that also, because the Spirit lives in us, that's how we commune with God, by the Spirit. By the Spirit. It's spiritual communication. Prayer is spiritual communication between a child and the Heavenly Father. Pray without ceasing and so forth. Let's look at what Jesus said in John 20 after his resurrection to those disciples. It says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that something? You see here, Jesus is even in the natural demonstrating something that's actually happened in the spiritual. Receive the Holy Spirit. I might share next week what I saw happen to my wife when she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That involved this very thing. Then in Luke 10, Jesus talking about, this is the legs one, the legs, or feet, if you will. Behold, I give you the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Is the devil messing with some of you children of God this morning? Look past Brother Eddie up there to those words on that screen that Jesus mouthed across his lips. He said, I have given you authority to tread under your feet. I like that part. All the power of the enemy. Authority is greater than power. Because when you as a child of God, when you say in the name of Jesus, according to what the Scripture teaches, it's just like Jesus saying it. Because His Spirit is now inside of you. And when you do that, Holy Ghost is using your mouth to do exactly what He did through Jesus. Come out. Be healed. So, these are truths that are important for us to walk out in our life. We don't want to be strapped or bound to a lifeless, powerless version of Christianity. The very Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you, believer. So important to know. A couple other scriptures. We're to pray. Again, that's the breath of God, the communication with God. Pray in the Spirit. Without ceasing, we pray in the Spirit. Galatians 5 talks about walking in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All these scriptures talk about the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's all about being aligned and synced with Holy Spirit. I like Enoch in the Old Testament. Genesis 5, you can find the story of Enoch. Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. He was gone. Isn't that something? He walked with God and this poof, gone. In the New Testament, we are told in the book of Jude, that same Enoch, he prophesied. You see, he was walking in God. Even in Enoch's day, walking with God means that you could hear from God. And God enabled him to see. I don't know if he saw the flood coming. I don't know if the Lord gave him any words to help him see Moses parting the Red Sea or the prophet Samuel anointing David king or any of the Old Testament activities of Elijah and so forth. I don't know if he saw any of that. I don't know if by the Spirit he saw that Christ would come and what he would do or the day of Pentecost when the Spirit had been poured out. But I know what God did show him. Past all of that, the very second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jude said, behold, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes. The seventh from Adam prophesied, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on the ungodly for all their ungodly ways. He saw from before Noah's flood the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as end times. That's the kind of stuff that happens when you walk with God. Now, if you'll let me just step across the line just a bit. In Revelation 11, we're told of two witnesses in the end times. I mean, there's all kind of chaos and stuff going on, tribulation. Poof! Two witnesses show up. And they start prophesying and performing signs and wonders. I mean, it's a fireworks show in the supernatural. And then they are killed and they're left lying in the streets dead. Commentators, theologians, and having kind of put it together, I kind of maybe see it that way too. No one knows for sure, not dogmatically. But it may very well be that it was Enoch and then Elijah who come back as those two prophets because they never died physically like it's appointed unto man once to die. Enoch was just walking with God and he was gone and Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind of fire. But what I want you to see is Enoch had this encounter because it says he was walked with God. And we are called to walk in the Spirit. Now, I don't believe for Enoch that he's just sitting around twiddling his thumbs and saying, I'm going to take a giant leap of faith and just leap into the Spirit realm. No, I think what happened was day in and day out, he simply obeyed, was consistent, walked with God, you know, walking in the revelation he'd been given, just faithfully walking that out over time. And he was so faithful, so close to God that one day he took one more step and he just stepped right on into eternity. Walking in the Spirit is powerful. Sometimes we try to camp out on some kind of encounter or experience we had and just think back to the good old days. But just simply, consistently walking with God, doing the basic meat and potato things that we are taught to do under our new covenant, you will begin to see fruit in your life, breakthrough in your life, and God working and moving. Sometimes maybe in more manifest ways than others, but it is the real deal. And we have no exemption from troubles and trials and battles. That's all part and parcel for us all. But we are not alone. We have Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And there is an experience we'll talk about next Sunday of a baptism of the Spirit where a power comes that creates a big difference in the life of believers. More about that next week. Amen? I want you to stand with me. Our worship team is coming. I would like to ask for our prayer team members to quietly make your way to the front as well. While they're coming, give me your attention just for another couple of minutes here before we extend a time of response. Here's what I want to encourage you to consider doing. Try to remember these things, and this is how it can help you. Because just with Enoch and even walking in the Spirit, It is really about being faithful and consistent. There's certain things that I do, like when I first wake up in the morning, that are really helpful. You see, if you can make a commitment to begin doing something, if you do it long enough, you don't even have to think about doing. So now when I wake up, there's just certain things I do. I always, before I get up and walk anywhere, I'll go down to my knees and I pray the Lord's Prayer. But some mornings when I first wake up, I may say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice today and be glad in it. Some mornings I may say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I want to be led by you today. You know, help me today to do that. Sometimes I may make the sign of the cross. Well, why do you do that? Well, back in the early church, the sign of the cross, they did it different ways. They used the fish. I don't want to get too big a sidebar here, but it's just simply, I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in the power of the cross. Thank you, Lord, I'm forgiven, that I am protected and covered by the blood of Jesus. These are just things where you're reminding yourself of something that's true, and the truth of God has power in it. Okay? So maybe consider, when you wake up, Lord, help me to see what you want me to see today. Do this with me. Help me to see what you want me to see today. You can say it in a thousand different ways, but about your eyes. Lord, I want to see what you're doing today. Lord, help me to hear your voice today. I'm going to be listening. Help me to stay focused. I thank you I have the mind of Christ. Lord, may my thoughts be ordered by the Holy Spirit today. Give me wisdom. Lord, help me guard my tongue. Help me speak life like Jesus did. Help me to use my authority. Put the devil on the road if I need to today. Lord, help me guard my heart. Help me love like you love. Help my heart be filled with the fruit of your Spirit. Lord, my hands, help me touch someone today to help them. Help me be an agent of your healing, whether it's a word spoken, some type of service, or supernaturally you want to literally heal somebody. And Lord, help me think about you all through today. Help me pray without ceasing. Just remember that you're with me in everything that I do. And Lord, thank you for the authority you've given me to tread underfoot all the power of the enemy. Thank you that I'm made to walk in the Spirit. I'll run and not be weary. I'll walk and I'll not faint. These are all just using different parts of your body to be reminded of the treasure that's in the Word that is awakened in you by the Spirit. That becomes revelation. That becomes incarnation. That results in transformation. And it'll work. So when you wake up in the morning, give her a go. See what it says. Now, if your spouse is still sleeping, you don't have to shout it. It might become a distraction. But seriously, contemplate these things. Think on these things in Jesus' mighty name. Before the service, when we were praying, a couple of things happened. But one of the things is, it was like part of my hand was on fire. Like a hot coal was hitting my hand right in here. So I pray, why don't you just hold your hands up in the air. Father God, I thank you that your word says that we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I thank you that your word says that like you bless little children, Lord, we can bless people. We believe in the laying on of hands. May the anointing flow when we lay hands on people in the mighty name of Jesus. And across this room now, anyone that has pain in your hands, problems with your hands, just hold them up high. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare your healing right now. May it flow across this room. In the name of Jesus, I say to you, be healed. Pain, go. Pain, go. Joints, be healed. Ligaments, be healed. Muscle, be healed. Wounds, be healed. In Jesus' name. Anyone with burning sensation, be loose from that. Be healed. in Jesus' mighty name. Now, people up here to pray for you for different needs, but before we go, I want to ask you if you need healing in your body in some way beyond what we've just prayed, and if you're all right with some people around you laying hands maybe on your shoulders. You know, we want to always place our hands in appropriate ways. But if you're all right with others laying hands on you and praying for you, I want you to hold your hand up right now if you need healing in your body. Over here, gather around you believers there close by. Gather around Barbara. Over here, Benjamin, he's got his hand up. Some of you there, if you would come and lay hands on him. Anyone else in the back there? I see a hand. If somebody, y'all help me here. We are believers. We're told to lay hands on the sick. Right here is Tim in the aisle. Some of you men, come over to where Tim is. And ladies, right here. Are there others up here at the front? If some of you would go to them, walk across the room. We are allowed to use our legs. Anyone else? Make sure. I don't want someone here with a lifted hand not being prayed for. Oh, that would be so sad. Over, back over here. Is there someone praying? Okay. Oh, Holy Spirit, move in every situation, every person here. We pray that your healing virtue would flow. We thank you, Lord Jesus, by your stripes we are healed. Thank you that you bore our sicknesses. You bore our pain in your own body on the cross. And because of that, we are healed. Thank you for that gift, Lord, of healing. I pray it would be stirred up here this morning in Jesus' name. Now we're going to begin to worship. If you have other needs, please make your way to the front. Come out, step out from where you are, make your way to the front as we sing. Are there others? The Lord loves you so very much. Thank you so much for gathering with us this morning. Feel free to linger as long as you like. We do have our new member luncheon following this service for those of you that speak to. Thank you. Do you have something else you want to say? If some of you are considering becoming members, Mickey just said we had a few extra plates. Come up here and see her about that. We invite you to come. Go forth, let your light shine. May Jesus' love be big in you. Have a great week. Let's give the Lord a hand. This altar is open if you need prayer. Feel free to linger.